Right, and that was why I kind of brought up the Matt Walsh and Ken Ham thing, because typically, most often I would be on the side of Ken Ham, but I gotta be honest, I'm in this circumstance, I just agree with Matt Walsh, the Catholic, more than I do with Ken Ham, because I under Ken Ham for one, Matt Walsh was the only one that actually admitted he could be wrong on the age of the earth. Ken Ham was the one that called Matt Walsh a compromised Christian because he didn't believe that the earth was 6,000 years old. I don't believe that somebody needs to be compromised as a Christian if they believe that the earth is older than 6,000 years. I'm split on the issue. Actually, I was brought up and raised as like it's a damnable heresy if you don't believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old. And now, because of the Leviathan stuff that I've talked about on this channel before, and I'll continue to talk about, I actually think that, the old earth view, or gap theory, I mean, there's a bunch of different, segments of that, but I think it has some validity. I think it has something where we can at least talk about it. It's a conversation we could have, and that's what Matt Walsh said. I'm obviously not a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, but it blows my mind that in this circumstance, the Catholic had some better points to make, I thought, had some very had some really good, honest points to make. And then the Protestant. And I love Ken Ham. I mean, I shoot, we did a whole video on the Ark encounter and the museum and everything they did. And I thought it was great. I think it's great what they're doing. But at the same time, I just don't think this is something that we should divide about as Christians. I don't see why. Like, I would absolutely love, and I've invited him, and hopefully someday we can make this happen. I've invited Matt Walsh onto this channel. I would love to have him on. I've interviewed Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire. He's a Catholic. That video only got 300 views because of YouTube, but still, I've invited him on, and I'm sure I could invite him on again, and he would be happy to come on. It doesn't mean I'm a Catholic sympathizer. I actually, to be honest, there was a short point in my life where my mom, after she divorced my dad, that's a whole story, but she dated a Catholic guy. I tried the Catholic thing when I was like 10 years old, and I'm not a Catholic. Like, there's too many doctrines that Catholics, really hold true that I just can't believe in, like the divinity of Mary. There's too many things. But at the same time, what the Catholics have going for them, and I will be willing to admit this, is they have never let go of just good philosophy. Like, not bad philosophy. There's like 90% bad philosophy. There's a lot of bad philosophy, but there's some really good philosophy too. Look up Ed Fazer. Look up Ben Shapiro, Ed Fazer, Daily Wire Sunday special. Look up that and then just watch it. And okay, yeah, Ben Shapiro, he's not a Christian. Ed Fazer is, but he's a Catholic. But watch that interview and tell me if there's anything in there that a Protestant Christian could not benefit from. We could benefit from having some like actual good arguments, some good apologetics, that we have abandoned because we have this extreme view of what the Bible on itself is all that we should view. We have this extreme view of that where we have to get to the point where we have to say, if we're Protestants, we have to say that Leviathan in the book of Job is a dinosaur. No, we don't have to say that. We can say that it's a chaos dragon. All that stuff that I talked about in, like, I think it was the very first Peck Underground Church. Anyway, Steve, I'm taking time away from you. I could talk about this forever and ever and ever, but is there any of that you could comment on?
Yeah, I would say talking about dividing on issues, there are some things I would encourage people to look into what defines a heresy.
Right, right. And we define that in the book. That's a good point to bring up.
Heresy is classically defined as anything against Orthodox Christian belief. Now, when it comes to orthodoxy, it's generally referring to essentials of the faith or absolutes of the faith. I was just reading today, actually, speaking of this, I was reading an article in my ESV study Bible, and it's on essential versus peripheral doctrine. I just want to give you some criteria here, and this will help some people, because I don't want to see So here's what people won't get with the book. You're going to read some things in there. Even Mike Heiser wrote in the front of the book, you know, the stuff that's going on in the church is going to surprise some people. The stuff that we list in the book, it will surprise people. It's some of it's really bad. Some of it's a little more mild, but some of it's really bad. And we need to say, no, that's error. That does not belong in our church. Maybe you're saved and deceived. I'm not going to judge your salvation. God's going to tell a person. So if they hold Orthodox Christian beliefs but are into this woo-woo stuff on the side, we need to correct them. And maybe not even I can't refer people to their ministry. I can't sit under their ministry knowing that they lack that kind of discernment.
Right.
I just can't in good conscience. Am I going to say that they're unsaved? No. Am I going to call them heretics over that? Depends on what the issue is. We have to be careful with the conclusions we draw. And we have to be diligent in the research that we do. And we have to ask the question, is this an absolute truth of the Christian faith that they're denying? Is it a conviction of the Christian faith they're denying? Is it an opinion that we can have difference on? Or is it a question that's just unknowable? So here we go. So the ability to discern the relative importance of theological belief is vital for effective Christian life and ministry. Both the purity and unity of the church are at stake in this matter. And we need a church that's purified by the truth and a commitment to the truth and walking in integrity and authenticity. And when we identify error, exposing that truth in love, exposing that error in love and in truth.
Right.
Both purity and unity of the church are at stake in this matter. The relative importance of theological issues can fall within four categories. Absolutes define the core beliefs of the Christian faith. Convictions, number two, while not core beliefs, may have significant impact on the health and effectiveness of the church. The third are opinions, which are less clear issues that generally are not worth dividing over. And fourth, there are questions that are currently unsettled issues. These categories can be best visualized. It gives a diagram here. Now, where an issue falls within these categories, categories should be determined by weighing the cumulative force of at least seven considerations. The first one is biblical clarity. How clear is it in the biblical text, one way versus the other? Relevance to the character of God. Relevance to the essence of the gospel. What are its implications on the nature and character of God and on the gospel? Four, biblical frequency and significance. How often is it in Scripture? And what weight does Scripture place on it? Five, the effect it has on other doctrines. Obviously, if me believing something in Scripture causes the deity of Christ or salvation by faith alone to be overthrown, that can't be true.
Right.
Consensus among Christians, past and present. I guess that's more of an appeal to history. And really orthodoxy, I guess. Basically, maybe creeds and early creeds and confessions of the early church, something like that. It's not enough to override or determine truth, but it can be considered. And seven, effect on personal and church life. So basically there's a way to go about this in Scripture. There's a way Paul went about this, right? There was at times where he said, if people deny any of these essentials, you know, mark people who cause divisions and bring doctrine contrary to what you've received from us and have nothing to do with them. But for people who are preaching the biblical gospel in Jesus' name, they hold all of the essential beliefs to a T in their statement of faith, but they emphasize certain aspects of the charismatic gifts in ways that make us feel uncomfortable. I would say there's something fishy there. Maybe they're getting into their flesh. I don't trust their discernment. I'm not going to call them a heretic and a false prophet if they're biblically not meeting the qualifications of a false prophet or heretic. So that's very important. And in the book, we don't do that. And that's why we were able to get Dr. Michael Heiser to write the foreword for our book, is because in exposing the New Age movement and our lengthy chapter on how it has infiltrated the church in thought and in practice, we don't sensationalize anything. We aren't ministry bashing.
That's right.
There's not good fruit in that. Here's the fruit of that. Here's the fruit of having a tendency to ministry bash. For the one, it can be pride, and it can be an esteeming of another person as being lesser than you, in a sense of superiority, which God resists, and a sense of self-congratulations that God resists as well. The danger of sensationalizing things is that you can be slandering the body of Christ and saying things that are completely incorrect, that aren't true, and you're going to be held accountable by God for that on Judgment Day. Like we just saw, this thing about Brian Houston Hillsong preaching Chrislam and believing he doesn't believe that. So any video who's ever taught that, they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account for bearing false witness,
right,
for slandering the body of Christ. They're going to say, God's going to say, you know, Jesus says, man is going to give an account for every idle word spoken. If we're going to have to give an account for idle words, how much more are we going to have to give an account for slander against the bride of Christ? That was wrong. That we would have found out was wrong if we did 3 seconds of research.
That's all it took you just right now. I mean, you hadn't heard any of that, and you just did 3 seconds worth of research while you're on a live video, and you were able to even find out the counter position. I mean, why don't most Christians just do that?